Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. And He loves you.
Under the sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C, in the Sanctuary Studio in Landover Hills, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We're going to get started with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study, show ourselves approved unto you, that we can apply this word to our lives, share it with others, and it will be done to your glory. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. When we get together, we're looking at the book of Matthew, and we're looking at this good word that Matthew is teaching us from the sixth chapter, and we've been talking about prayer, and we're moving on into the sixth chapter, and it's talking about fasting, and Matthew 6:16 is talking about fasting. And it's one of the things that God wants us to understand, that our flesh that we live in has a tendency to want to jump up and buck up. But we have to learn how to put it under the subjection of the flesh, I mean of the spirit. Learn to do that. We'll begin to start having a little more control in our lives. And when we do that, what happens is we'll understand how the spirit can overrule the flesh. And we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. We got Sheila G and Dr. G on the line. You guys there?
Yes, we are.
Praise the Lord. Thank God for technology. You know, of course, we had a few difficulties here in the Sanctuary Studio with the computer, but God is still able. It's Thursday.
God able.
But when we're looking, we know we were talking about prayer on the last couple of Thursdays. And then when we move down to this thing that Jesus introduced was fasting. It's like he taught on prayer and gave the model prayer in verses 8 through 15, but now he's talking about the this fasting. And I think that's one of the hardest things for the physical body to do is to say, we're going to fast.
Amen.
I believe everybody like to eat.
Amen. The truth.
And we want to eat every day. And we want to eat till we get full.
Yeah.
And then here comes God talking about you, some things only come through prayer and fasting.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't mind praying.
Right.
But he's talking about turning that plate over. Like,
right.
Oh, wait, what you talking about? You know, that old different strokes, Willis, when Arnold would tell Willis, what you talking about, Willis? And so when Jesus tells us we need to do some fasting, he's talking about, what you talking about, Jesus? But it's so funny that the things that cause us so much discomfort a lot of times what's best for us.
Amen. That's right.
And so we have to look at this thing as Jesus knew about prayer, Jesus knew about the flesh, Jesus knew about fasting, and with that combination of prayer and fasting, he was able to deal with living in the flesh on this earth. He was God and man at the same time. That means he dealt with the flesh on a regular basis. So it wasn't like he didn't get hungry. He was hungry just like we get hungry. And so, you know, those are the basic things, Sheila G, that we have to understand is that if Jesus went through it, he went through it and he understands it, but he's showing us an example that we got to pray and we got to fast. Sheila G?
That's right. And a lot of times I think people forget that. They look at Jesus in the spirit and don't realize that he was also in flesh. So if he can do it, we can do it as well, because he will give us the power to do it because he's actually been through it. So, yes, he's spirit, but he's also human. So he knows what we're doing, and he showed the proper example for us to follow.
Amen. And I think, you know, when I'm fasting, I think the most difficult part, this is for me personally, is the first day. It's like the first day, it's like my body's going through all kinds of stuff, talking about, wait a minute, what's going on? You I'm used to having breakfast, lunch, and dinner. What's happening? And you know, even though I can stand to lose 30 or 40 pounds, it's like my body's like, I'm dying. You're killing me.
Right.
With all these extra carbohydrates I got stored up on me. It's like I could go a whole lot of days and not die.
Right.
I'm just keeping it real, y'all. But
and it's a mental thing too. It's like in your mind you think you're starving, and the devil use that and get you thinking and convincing yourself that you're gonna die if you don't put something in your system.
Right. And the first day it's like I'm drinking water. And when I'm drinking the water, the body's like, okay, that's water, that's good. But what else? Then I'll get a little headache, and then I feel a little fatigued, and what'll happen is now there's the struggle between the flesh and the spirit. But once you start getting into the spirit, what happens is the flesh will put up a good fight.
That's right.
But eventually that gentleman said, all right, I guess you're going to be fasting. And he'll calm down. And then once it calms down, then what happens is the spirit can begin to start taking over and doing what God wants you to do. So you can have a clearer connection with God and not be concerned about the flesh talking about I'm tired, I want to eat. It's calmed down. And so that's the first thing that is that initial battle. But once that initial battle comes about and the body's talking about, yeah, you're not going to die, just keep drinking that water. And then you know, don't worry about that food, and the spirit will come up, and you can begin to start hearing what God wants you to hear more clearly through prayer and fasting.
And that's the one thing that it teaches us, that to rely on the spirit and not the flesh. That's why if you can get through that first day, that's your first step in true connection with the Lord and denying self.
Right. And it's awesome to be able to see that, because I forget who wrote the song that said the flesh is a bad mother, shut your mouth. but it's rough. But let's go to the scripture in Matthew 6, verse 16. And Jesus is talking to scribes or the Pharisees. And these people weren't fasting for the right reason.
No.
And we got to remember not to fast for the wrong reason.
Yeah.
Some people do all kinds of stuff just to be seen.
That's a
and to tell people, oh, I'm fasting, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. But that's not the whole purpose, to be seen. The whole purpose is to get in tune with God, so that you can hear clearly from God what He wants you to do. To get you know back where Jesus was talking about in that prayer, not my will but your will be done. Is to get back into the will of God. And so he's admonishing these Jews in verse 16. He says, moreover, when you fast, it's verse 16, moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. And so what this is a false piousness. And Dr. G, you see it all the time in churches where people, they'll come in during the worship service and they pretend to be, you know, this pious, holier-than-thou Christian.
Yeah.
Dr. G.
Well, you know, it's the same old thing. Folk put on a show and they do it to be seen by other people. And that's basically what the hypocrites were doing. When you go back and you study all that Jesus has been teaching, the hypocrites, I mean, the Pharisees and such, they didn't do anything legitimate. All they did was, they did everything that they did was to put on the show, to be seen by men, to make folk think that they were all this and some.
Amen. And you know, it's sad to say, but that's still going on today, that people, they come to the show, I call it the show. They don't come to true worship. They come to the show, and it's the church show. And you know, they everything's choreographed, you know, and everything is scripted, and they just want to be seen by men. And so Jesus said, you're doing it for the wrong reason. You're fasting for the wrong reason. And he said, you know, put on this outward appearance, he said, and you think you're going to get something from God. He said, no, you already got your reward. In other words, you got your reward from man and not from God. And that is critical, Sheila G, to understanding God. If you want to be a man pleaser or men pleasers, and you want to come and show off, God said, don't look nothing for me. You didn't come to please me. You came to please man. And so you didn't please man. You didn't show it off. And man then said, look at me, look at me. And he looked at you. He said, don't look at anything else for me.
And the amazing thing about that is man can't do anything for you. So when you're doing things to impress man, that's all you get from that is an impressed man, if you get that. But man cannot bless you. Man can't do anything for you. That man, you cannot get a true reward from man other than saying, wow. And so what they were doing is really only feeding their ego. So people that do that, all they're doing is getting their ego boosted. But as far as any spiritual growth, any spiritual blessings, they're foregoing all that just so that to impress a person to boost their ego. But that's all they get.
And Dr. G, it's like sometimes people get into this thing called religion, and they religiously do stuff. And so sometimes people just religiously go to church just to say that I went.
Amen. I was just sitting here thinking about some of the escapades that folks do. Have you ever noticed that sometimes, because I've grown up in churches, and I've watched that as soon as the music gets going, you got certain folk that will get happy. And then they'll do the door dance, and you can almost, you know, pretty much tell what they're going to do, how they're going to do it, and then when they're going to come down off of it. You know, the Bible says try to do this by the Spirit to see if it is of God. But you're right. Everything that folk come to church for is not of God. And if we ever come to that realization, we'll be so much a better people for it.
Amen. Amen. And so this thing of recognizing, Sheila G, that there's a whole lot more to just praying, but if you pray along with fasting, that you can get past the selfish prayer. And that's one of the things I want to talk about tonight is why do we always have that tendency to have that selfish prayer? It's like we really don't have an understanding of looking out for someone else before ourselves. And I believe that's what fasting does. It helps us to take that humble mode to get me from being the front place. And when I mean me from being the front place, that means my emotions and my feelings. And so a lot of times I block my own blessing because I let my emotions and my feelings override me. Amen, light.
Amen.
And so through prayer and fasting, it tells my feelings, just calm down and get out of the way. because when you're in your emotions and your feelings, you do the wrong thing and you make the wrong decisions, and you're not praying in the will of God, or you're not operating in the will of God. When you fast and you pray, it really deals on those emotions and feelings. Because sometimes people will get emotional in their feelings and they'll be out of the will of God for years, Sheila G.
Right. Amen. And that's the key, is being in the will of God. A lot of, if we're in our emotions and our feelings, our prayer to the Lord is, Lord, just take me out of this. I can't deal with this. I can't deal with this. But by you saying that, by doing that, number one, is that you're just forgetting about the scripture that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And instead, we should be praying in the will of God and asking the Lord to lead, guide, and direct us in whichever direction we're supposed to be, even if it means we have to be uncomfortable. That's okay, because you're not relying on those emotions. And Jesus showed the perfect example of that. He, this flesh, didn't want to do it. He didn't want to suffer that
Amen.
Day.
But Amen.
He also put his flesh under subjection and said, but not my will, your will be done. And that's what we need to do. But we get caught up in our emotions, so we get that selfish prayer of where we're like, Lord, we're uncomfortable. Just take me out of this discomfort, instead of trying to understand what exactly is it that God wants us to do. And if we connect with him that way, he can give us peace in the midst of an uncomfortable
Amen.
Situation. And therefore, we can turn the focus off ourselves and pray for others. So basically, our prayer to the Lord for us should be, lead, guide, and direct my path, help to keep me in your will, and then listen to him and see what it is that we need to pray for, other than just gimme, gimme, gimme.
But you don't.
Amen.
With that too, Pastor C, I think it's just like in everything else that we talk about, It's a growing process. You have to grow in the body of the Lord to understand that you've got to step out of the selfish and your emotions and be about what God wants you to be. But as long as we're still babes in Christ, here we are 10, 15 years down the road, and we're still off of, you know, the milk of the word because we're not in enough Bible study. We're not studying enough. So it's still a growing process that we have to be about.
Amen. And that's one of the biggest things I think Jesus was trying to tell us is how to deal with the flesh. If we could ever get to the point where we recognize those feelings and emotions, and we're human, and we're emotional people, and we have feelings, but to recognize that when that thing is taking us in the wrong direction, to be able to cut it off, because that's, I would say that's a majority of the problem with church or Christian fellowship. Christian fellowship is we fall out of love with each other, because of some type of emotion or some type of feeling, what somebody did to me, what somebody said to me, what somebody hurt my feelings, or what somebody, and you know, Satan loves that. He doesn't have to do anything. He said they'll take care of themselves. They'll knock each other out. We give him too much credit. It's like, well, I don't have to do anything. All I got to do is whisper in somebody's ear. You know what she said about you. And we'll take it to another level right there.
That's right.
We don't even have to know what they said. Just whisper it. You know what they said about you. And then they'll come back and say, if it was me, I wouldn't take it. And there it goes. And then what happens is you got your girl or your boy, and then or your boy talking about, I wouldn't take that either. Or your girl talking about, what's up with that? And so now you got this friction in the church, people coming to the church year after year just for outward show and not doing the will of God. They just showing up to show off for somebody else, and they're really not following the will of God. And if we would fast a little bit more along with prayer, we would get past that childish stuff and learn how to grow up. But we still want to swing on that bottle. We still want to swing and swig on it, have somebody hold us and burp us and change our diaper instead of getting up and get to the point where you can work and go out and buy your own milk, put it in the refrigerator, come back home, put it in your own glass, and then actually cook some steak up, to go along with that meal. And start digesting some stuff. But that's where we were, like, you're right, you're absolutely right, Dr. G, that's where we remain infants, because we haven't learned how to deal with that flesh. And, you know, I don't want to step on anybody's toes, but, you know, when Christ says that, you know, we just want an outward show, he's for real. We just want an outward show. We don't want to put the hard work in of fasting, finding out what the word says, loving people, inspiring people. You know, we don't want to put that word. We want going in. We want to get our shout off. We want to get our praise off. And that's all we want to do. We don't want to fast. We don't want to pray. We don't come to Bible study. We don't want to do none of that. We just want to come in, preach us happy, choir sing our song, and show off. And that's what we want to do. I'm just saying, Sheila G.
Amen. I was sitting here looking at Pastor D right now because we were just talking about that, how people would do their thing. They'll show up on Sunday and they think that's enough. But if they really drew close to the Lord, they would understand that truly is not enough, because you need to get into that prayer, that natural praying, talking to the Lord as if you would, instead of calling your girlfriend, you call the Lord and speak
right,
and just with him, and he can lead and guide you. And even when you're in an uncomfortable situation, you don't panic.
Amen.
Because you're like, okay, Lord, I'm here for a reason. And then you're focused on him. But people don't want to do what they need to do to be able to do that. Now, they'll go to training on their job. They'll go get education.
Uh-oh.
They'll do what they need to do do what they got to do the best job at work, but they won't do what they need to do, prayer, Bible study, to be able to do the best job as a child of the Lord.
That's because they don't have time.
And then they wonder why you got so many isms in the church.
Right.
And we have a tendency, we want to point the finger at everybody else but ourselves. And you know, if there's an ism in the church, a schism in the church, everybody needs to first take self-inventory. You know, self-inventory and look at that man in the mirror and say, okay, have I been praying enough? Have I been fasting enough? Have I been in my word? Have I been loving like God says love? And when I take, if everybody in the church would take that inventory, you know, everybody would realize, hey, I need to pray more, I need to fast more, I need to take more self-inventory, I need to stop operating in the flesh. And you know, when I learn how to stop operating in the flesh, then when somebody calls me out my name, I'm not ready to fight and cry.
Right.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
But if somebody calls you out your name, people won't put their religion on the side, they won't put their Bible down, they won't go back to that old man, cuss them out, get them straight. Talking about, I might be a Christian, but you ain't going to take advantage of me like that. I'm going to get you straight. And you know, we still got that old man thug in us. You know, we got
Amen.
To let that old man thug go. And that's what prayer and fasting will do. It will help you get over that old man thug. Because believe it or not, that old man thug will jump up at any time.
That's right. Amen.
Big
time.
Still that old man thug, he like a skeleton that still got meat on him. That old man will come out of that closet, and
Amen.
He will do the moonwalk and show off.
That's the truth.
Amen. I mean, that's everybody. I don't care if you're a preacher, a bishop, or whoever.
No.
That old man will come out and have you looking like a fool.
Yeah, and that's why you have to stay in constant prayer. And you know, the amazing thing about that is we react more to what man says or thinks about us than we do to what God thinks about us. You know, that it matters to us. It's like you said, somebody disrespected me or said something to me out their mouth and were talking about me, and you're ready to jump and lead them the ride out and to get them straight. But what about what God thinks about you? That's the one that should matter. What somebody else is saying about you is just words. And that's what
Amen.
Being coached for helps you to understand is that if I got God and I'm pleasing the Lord, that's all I need. It doesn't matter what you say to me.
Mm-hmm. But you know
Amen.
What? That all goes back to what you were saying. You know, we've got to be willing to invest that part, that time and do the work to get to where we need to be in the body of Christ. That little hitting and missing is not working.
No, it's definitely not working. And what I tell people when they ask about fast, do control the flesh. That's the
Amen.
Only thing that's going to control the flesh. And so, well, Pastor, what do I do to fast? I say, you got to understand that God has a spiritual relationship with us. We're a spirit, and God will speak to us in a spiritual way. The
uh-huh.
flesh has to obey what the spirit man does, but if we don't put that joker under subjection, then he's gonna try to tell the spirit what to do, in spite of what God says. And so we have this constant struggle. So when people say, you know, what about fasting? I tell them basically what it is getting to the flesh where it's too tired to respond. Like it's calmed down to the point where it's too tired, or it's not able to put up the fight like it usually fights. That's what fasting do. It will allow the flesh to go. I'm gonna use a scale of 1 to 10. It's gonna allow the flesh to dial down to about a 1 or 2, so that the spirit can rise up to a 9 or a 10. And so now you're hearing more from the spirit man than you are from the flesh. And basically that's what it is. It dials it down. And you ever been too tired to argue? You know, you go home. And with your husband or wife, you don't work, and you like they flapping their jaw, And you say, I just don't have enough energy to deal with you right now. Just go ahead, flap your jaw. And you just say, yes, dear. Yes, dear. Yes, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. And you just let it go.
It's
been done. Because you're too tired. You don't even feel like hearing. You're like, mm-hmm, okay, all right, good, right, all right. Mm-hmm. And you just let him go, wah, 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 and let it go. But and in this way, what it is the flesh, it doesn't have any, you know, sustaining power. It'll try to raise up, but it's like, okay, the spirit man won. I can't do it. Just let the spirit man run because, you know, I'm not feeding off of that. And, you know, when we had that three-course meal, where we done had the meat, the protein, the vegetable, we done had the sugar drink, and, you know, we the flesh is feeling good. It's satisfied.
Yeah.
But when you limit that joker and he goes on fast, he like, oh, my goodness, he's taking my energy away from me. So now the spirit man is talking. But God will give us enough energy physically to continue to maintain but walk in the spirit to the point you're not falling down, you're not looking like, oh, this was the Sadducees and the Pharisees. They was painting bags underneath their eyes. They was dressing funny and old. So, oh, you must be fasting. But you know, Jesus said, when you fast for me, you're not going to look like that. And you don't have to tell anybody that you're fasting.
That's right.
Because he's able to keep the spirit and the flesh at the same time. But that's all you know, I tell people is the flesh is just, it's putting it in check, saying you got enough calories, you got enough stored food on that body, and most of us do. Amen. Most of us could fast for a week, and I'm going to leave that alone. So we got enough stored on us that we're not going to die. And so basically it's dialing down the flesh, allowing the spirit man to be heard, to hear what God says. And then when you can hear what God says in spirit, what happens is you won't be responding incorrectly in the flesh and not making a fool of yourself in church and wherever you are with your family, your husband, your wife, because these things are challenging all the time. And if you're operating strong in the flesh, you're going to mess up, you're going to tear something up, you're going to ruin something. But if you stay constantly in prayer, you stay constantly in the spirit realm, you won't mess up. Sheila G.
That's right. That's right. And that's what we should be striving towards. And the thing is, back to, and I know I keep harping on this, but the one way to learn how to do that is through prayer and prayer service and Bible study, because that's what we need. That's our training of how to dial down that flesh and walk by the Spirit. It's not a type of thing where you can just jump out here and do it. You have to have that prayer life and that will to want to be close to God in order to be able to do that. Otherwise, the flesh will win all the time and everything.
Amen. And that's you know, we can't. I mean, if Jesus is focusing on it, and he's telling us we should focus in on it, and I think a lot of times we don't focus in on that a lot. And you know, I just want to get us to a point where we understand that fasting is just as important as eating. I'm gonna slow down and say that again. Fasting is just as important as eating. Because what will happen is you'll study nutrition. And if you have the proper nutrition, what will happen is your physical life will be balanced and you'll experience a healthy life. But if you have bad nutrition, like if you eat too much sodium or you eat too much saturated fat and you don't have the proper nutrition, what will happen is your body will begin to become less healthy. And what happens is, in the spirit realm, if we have too much flesh, what happens is we become unhealthy nutritionally or spiritually. And so we have to have that right balance to be able to say, I want to remain healthy spiritually. And so if I want to remain healthy spiritually, I got to have a good fasting like. Just like if I want to remain healthy physically or in the flesh, I need to have the proper nutrition. And so the balance, to balance the two out, is what we need to do on a daily basis. And, you know, it's a difficult thing because, you know, a lot of times we like to eat and not exercise and not get the proper nutrition.
Amen.
Hey, man, I just talk about myself. I ain't going to talk about nobody else. It's discipline to be able to eat a certain amount of calories and have the proper amount of exercise and have the proper amount of rest. Amen. Most of us don't get the proper amount of exercise. Most of us don't do the proper amount of nutrition. Most of us don't do the proper amount of sleep. Amen. and all of those things are supposed to help us in our physical life. But it's the same thing with our spiritual life. We need to get the proper amount of fasting. We need the proper amount of word. We need the proper amount of prayer. And it's a work in progress. So I know it's not popular. You know, telling somebody to eat the proper nutrition, telling somebody to exercise, somebody to get the proper rest, that's just not a popular subject. People don't want to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
People want to go to sleep when they want to go to sleep. They want to eat what they want to eat, and they don't want to exercise. Can we keep it real?
Amen. That's the truth.
It's just like that. And it's the same thing in the spirit, man. We don't want to pray enough. We don't want to fast enough. We don't want to get to where we need. And so we have to make it a priority. We got to put it top on our list every day and say, okay, I need to pray. I need to get into my words. I need to make Bible study or Sunday school or prayer service a part of my routine, because when I do, then just like when we do the proper things in our physical life as far as sleep, nutrition, exercise, then you start looking good. And when you look good, you feel good.
And feeling,
you know,
good.
And that's the same thing with in our spiritual life. You know, when we're looking good spiritually, we're feeling good, but it takes effort. It takes work. And this is what Jesus demonstrated to us. Dr. G?
Well, you know, too, you know, just sitting there thinking, everything that you said is true. The challenge comes when trying to get people to understand that they need all of those things, and you can only get that through the Lord. You know, we need to be communicating daily with the Lord. We need to be praying on a regular basis. We need to be studying. But like you said, folk want to do what they want to do, and then when God has to get their attention, then it's like, oh, woe is me. And I find that in itself, and we're living in a time now where people just don't care. And it takes something miraculous to get folk even to that point where they understand, well, you know, you need the Lord. I mean, I tell them every day, I've got to have the Lord with me every day. Just to
Amen.
Get up out of my
Amen.
I need the Lord with me on that beltway with them fools out there. When I go to work, I got to take the Lord with me just to help keep me in the right frame of mind that I don't go off and cut somebody out. And then come
Amen.
Home, I've got to have the Lord with me so that I won't kill my kids or my wife.
Amen. Amen. Hey, that's real.
And then when you go to church, and you're trying to minister to people, and you got all these little different personalities, nobody really wants to hear, nobody wants to do what the Lord says. You know, being in the Spirit will help keep your mind right with God.
Amen. Amen. And that's just real. And so that's going to be the question tonight is, do we really understand what it takes to remain in the Spirit? Do we really understand what it takes to remain in the Spirit as far as with prayer and fasting? And do we understand the benefit? And, you know, I'm just going to ask that question. You know, do we really understand? And a lot of times people understand they don't know how to do it, but Jesus is saying in order to really stay in the will of God, is you need to pray and fast. And so I'm going to ask him a question. Do we really understand what Jesus is trying to teach here? All right, we're going to go to the studio audience, and we're going to ask, do we really understand what Jesus is trying to teach about prayer and fasting? And we're going to start with studio audience.
I have a concept of what prayer and fasting means. And for me, I think where I am in my life, if it was not for prayer and fasting, I wouldn't be here. But I say things could be better. When there were times when I stopped the fasting and was not doing as much prayer, and things become stagnant. So I know that as long as I keep praying, and I can't say I fast every day, that would be a lie, but when I put into practice the fasting and the prayer and staying in the Word, things tend to improve for me, and I get closer and closer to God. So I know it's very important to have that component in your life. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you for your comment. It goes to another studio audience.
I think Christians, they, just like anybody else, you know what the end result is, you know where you want to be, you know what you want to obtain, but I think the issue is that people get discouraged by the journey that they realize they have to go on to get there. I think, especially myself, we know what it takes, and the sad part is, you know, the saying goes is that, you know, if you put your mind to it, you can do whatever you want, and, you know, like you said, I know our Pastor Gregory had touched on it about when your back's against the wall or you need something, you'll do whatever it is you need to do it. But we don't have that sense of urgency when it comes to something where we say, well, you know, we got to put in the work, or I have to kind of be mindful to do this every day up until I can get to that point. But, you know, one thing I've always told people, you know, we talk about the spirit and we talk about the flesh, but the mind is probably the most important aspect of the two, because you have a spiritual mind, I believe, and you also have the mind of the flesh. So whatever your mind can put to it, those thoughts become action. So I think it's once you make it up in your mind and you believe it, then you can basically apply what your mind has conceived to reality, to action, to say, look, I want to be a better Christian. I want to be a better person. I want to actually fast and do those things. All you have to do is commit to do it and not necessarily look at the road,
right,
because the road can be discouraging, but just take one step at a time, and then before you know it, you'll be at the end of the road, and then you'll realize when you turn around, like, man, I accomplished so much. So focus on each step, or in this sense, focus on each day getting better. Don't focus on at the end of my life where I want to be. Take each day as a lesson learned, as a way to grow. Try to be better than you were the next day, and just continue to look ahead. And just remember that we're not walking this journey alone. We have people to lean on. We have the Word of God to lean on. So when you kind of get discouraged and feel bad, God has given us tools that we can utilize to help us on that journey. But ultimately, I think everybody knows it's just getting in the right mindset, going back to the mind, to say, okay, I know where I want to be. I know how to get there. I just need to do what I know I can do and capable of doing.
There you go. Amen. Thank you for your comment.
I think what helped me was I was very, very focused on man. I was focused on my church. I was focused on my family and what they expected me to do. But when I stopped listening to everyone and I sat back and I stayed very still and I listened to what God wanted me to do, I was at peace. And I think that we are all guilty of wanting to please man, of wanting to look good in the church and wanting to have a title or a position or something like that. But at the end of the day, the best feeling is when you do something that no one else knows about and it just feels good to you. So I think that from the door to the pulpit, when we say that we can't judge, you know, we all need to do better and we all need to apply and we all need to do that. And I think that when we sit here and we say, well, 10 people didn't come to Bible study or 10. I'd rather, me personally, you know, some people may come to Bible study and not really be here mentally, you know, but somebody could be home really studying the word. We do not know what that person may be doing at home or, you know, on their train ride home. They may be reading the Bible. They may be really witnessing to people and really working for the Lord. And the time will come. They'll come to Bible study and they'll come, they'll call for prayer service and they'll come every Sunday. But I know for a fact there are some people that do all of those things, but for man and not for God. So a lot of times we all need to just sit still, fast, pray selflessly, all of those things, and everything will fall into place. And I think that a lot of people say, you know, you're supposed to be at a certain point in your life right now, your Christian walk and everything else. And you know what? They're probably right. But I know I'm working for God. I know I'm working towards a better me, and I know God loves me and God hasn't left me. And I know that, you know, it's taking me a little longer than others, but it's genuine and it's real.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for your comment tonight. One more studio audience.
Well, you know, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, when Jesus was fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and you have to go where, when he was taken to be tempted of Satan, there was some communication with God with in between that time and the time he was fasting. And he used the word of God in verse 3 of that, that, you know, man shall not live by bread alone, right? When Satan asked him to turn those stones into bread. The thing is, the fasting and prayer is to get us closer to the Lord and to put this flesh, which can be a bear, under subjection. And, yes, I think it's a great idea. If it's good enough for our Savior, Jesus Christ, it is good enough for us. And
amen.
I'm not saying we have to go to 40 days and 40 nights, okay? But if you can, that's well and good. But if it's good enough for our Lord and Savior, then we need to go ahead and put this flesh under subjection with prayer and fast. And that's my take on that.
Amen.
All right. Thank you for your comment. We're going to go to the phone line and see if we can work this thing. We're going to go to the last four digits. We're going to go to last four digits of 7348. 7348, you on there? Looks like 7348 just dropped off the line. We're going to go to 9772. 9772, you on there?
7772. Well, it says, I had never had a chance to do a fast because I never knew what a fast was. I'm learning, and I'm living with the Lord all the time. I must be on the right track because I see the prayer, the Lord's prayers in Matthew in 6, that I keep on losing weight for where I'm supposed to lose weight and still walking with the Lord, and I haven't missed a meal
Amen.
Yet, so. Thank the good Lord for that. I must be on the right track, so I won't
Amen.
Deviate that point. I'll stay on in Matthew 6 where I'm doing the right thing. So I praise the Lord that he know I'm doing the right thing. I can't take without eating, so he keep me on the right track, and I still lose weight anyway.
Amen.
I'm going to stay with
Amen.
God and walk with him every day.
Amen. Well, thank
Amen.
You for your comments tonight.
Yes,
Amen.
Lord.
All right, we're going to go to the last four digits, 1741. 1741, you on there?
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening,
everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I understand about fasting, and I do know from experience that when I fast and pray, especially when I fast and very serious about it, that God has really strengthened my body and he has helped me to grow spiritually. I don't fast the way that I should. I know that I should do better, and it shouldn't be a temporary thing with me. It should be a lifestyle with me. It should be something that I need to do all the time. So hearing this lesson tonight, it, you know, it's not something that you don't know. It's something that you do know, but you just need to have that word reinforced in your life. And where you can ask God to help you, because I know from experience and what I've been through that when flesh get out the way, then the Holy Spirit can really use me for God's glory. And that's what it's all about, working for the Lord. My mind is more on spiritual things than physical things. I can deal with situations better. I can deal with people better when the Holy Spirit is controlling me. And I'm more into the Word. I'm more into prayer, and I'm more into fasting. So I'm guilty as far as not doing the fasting part. So I just need to ask God to, you know, help me, work with me more so that I can do more fasting.
Right. All right. Well, thank you for your comment tonight. All right, we're going to go to 7971. 7971, you are on the air.
Good evening, everyone. I would like to say that I do understand the concept of fasting and prayer. I've gone to many retreats where you fasted during the whole retreat and you prayed. And God's word teaches us that he fasted and prayed. God didn't do anything without fasting. It's a tool that we have as Christians that assures us that we subject our flesh to fasting and then going to him pure and holy, asking for what we need, because when the burden gets heavy and you're looking for a breakthrough and you know that you have to have this, whether it's a healing, whether it's financial, whether it's children or marriage or whatever, you really want to get close to God, to let him know that you're sincere about praying and you need that breakthrough. When you fast before the Lord and go into prayer, we don't do it all the time, and it's so sad sometimes because we know a lot of these churches, they don't even teach fasting. A lot of people don't know what fasting is. They don't know even where to start to fast. And that's sad. And they're missing out on a lot of things that could be happening in their life and in their spiritual walk and getting their breakthrough as far as their prayers are concerned. This is a vital tool that God says we should use to get that breakthrough. So I thank God that we have a pastor that is teaching us all the ins and outs of the value of fasting, praying, what praying means, what a prayer, speaking in tongues, the Holy Spirit, all these things, they join together in your spiritual walk of life every day. We may not do it all the time, but stop and think what it would mean to you if you would do that. So, yes, I do understand. It's like a gift of fasting when you need to pray and you need to get that breakthrough. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. All right, we're going to take one more caller. Last number, 9880. You are on there. 9880. You on there? All right. Looks like they're just listening in. Sheila G, looks like we're really starting to understand how important this is. I think a lot of times, like a lot of the callers say, it's like we know what we should be doing, but we just need to reinforce it, go over it again. And I always like to use the parable type teaching is, you know, in order to maintain a good physical physique, we know we got to have the proper intake of this, the proper intake of that, proper sleep, proper exercise. And you know, we just need to constantly have this reinforcement of, you know, in order for us to operate spiritually in the will of God, that we need to incorporate this prayer and fasting into our in our regular lives. Sheila G.
I really, really agree with that. You know, I think a lot of people don't understand the power of the combination of praying and fasting. You know, mm-hmm. It's like, okay, I know I pray, and because it is just communicating and talking with the Lord, but to have that powerful prayer, that's where mm-hmm. the Lord is saying, this is how you can step it up. And because it is a communication with the Lord, understanding from God's word of how you put the combination of those two, then that
yeah.
is really where power comes from, because you're not in your flesh. You're not so concerned about what people say or what somebody thinks or what somebody's looking at. It's all about putting the two together and just having that personal relationship with the Lord. And then you learn things like, okay, there's the individual prayer, but there's also a corporate prayer. And so God
yeah,
just kind
yeah.
of, you know, going in his word and fasting and understanding what his word is talking about actually teaches us on how to step it up so that our prayer
mm-hmm.
life could be even more powerful than it is today.
Amen.
Because we can
right.
always improve where we are with our relationship with the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And Dr. G, I'm going to let you close this out, but I just want you to comment on what our studio audience said. If we saw Jesus using these tools to survive in this world, it behooves us that we should follow that example and not get distracted by the enemy when he comes in and starts questioning if you be the Son of God or, you know, bow down and worship me, and all those things. Just comment, and then you can close it out. Just comment on the way Satan will continue to use this to keep us from doing it, and what it would take for us to recognize the attack or the tactics of the enemy, so that we can get to where God wants us to be in the will of God. Because he's just going to continue to use that tactic. And as long as we keep falling for it, we're just going to continue to stay where we're going to be, Dr. G.
Exactly.
Let me do it this way. A few weeks ago, Sheila G and I had to take a medical exam for an insurance policy. And
mm-hmm.
one of the things that we had to do, we had to actually fast from that morning all the way to that evening. And
mm-hmm.
during that time, I don't know about Sheila G, but I was praying
yep.
and drinking water
yep.
and, you know,
mm-hmm.
that whole thing. And see, the thing is, man, we had to do that in order
right.
to apply for an insurance policy. Well, if we look at the spiritual, it's the same thing. God
mm-hmm.
is our insurance policy.
That's right.
And if we want
right.
the best, and if we want to get that insurance policy, we've got to learn how to do it the way that he says do it. There's no other way. And everyone is right. I mean, the Lord put that in his word to show us and to teach us how we can become better in his body and to be able to do the will of the Lord. We can't do it as long as we're in the flesh. But the Bible teaches us that I can do all things through Christ.
Amen.
Through
Amen.
Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. All he's asking us to do is to fast, and then when we fast, don't do it like the hypocrites, because they're already getting this reward. So if we could understand that this is our insurance policy, and that way it would make us want to do it, we would be a lot better off. Let us pray. Thank you, O Lord, for this evening. We thank you for all that has been done and said. Lord, we come now praying that you will continue to teach us and help us to understand about your word, understand about fasting, understanding about prayer, understanding that we should not do things as the hypocrites do. Father, we thank you tonight for everyone who's come out. We thank you for those that have called in. And Lord, we thank you for all of the comments. I'm praying now, Lord, that we might understand in a little bit better fashion what fasting is all about. Lord, it is giving up something that we desire, something that we crave. But, Father, when we give it up, you replace it with your spirit. And, Father, thank you for that tonight. We pray that you would continue to lead, guide, and direct our paths. Help us to be all that we can be for thee. And, Father, we believe that one day, don't know when, but when that time does come, if we continue to follow the way of your word, Lord, you will help us to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Father, I'm praying now for those that did come out tonight. I pray that you would grant them traveling mercies. And Father, we pray that if it's your will on tomorrow, that we awaken and we can go forward and do what we have to do for you. Father, we ask these and all of the blessings and favors. In the precious name, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. We'll see you next Thursday night. Good night.
Amen.
Good night.
Well, Nita, you said you 40 days and 40 days.